to Isaiah chapter 52. The scripture is beginning in verse 1. Isaiah 52 in verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord? That my people is taken away for naught. They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we just ask that you bless the reading of your word and the preaching of the gospel, anointing of the Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name that you would have your sweet will and way in every heart and every life. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful in our waiting and watching for your soon coming. We ask that you, Lord God, help us be busy about the tasks that you've called us to do. And God, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I like this message from Isaiah 52. He's the prophet of God during the days of Hezekiah, about 700 B.C., they tell us. And so he is looking into the future, and he's telling the people of Judah, probably most likely Jerusalem, telling them about some things that are going to be coming soon, fairly soon at least, 100 years or so. He's telling them that because of their idolatry, because of their apostasy, that there's going to be a captivity, that the Babylonians are going to come and take them captive. And also he's telling them, and this is what I get excited about, that God is going to release those people from that bondage in his timing. It's all in the future. It's all there, and he's letting them know. You sold yourselves for naught. You did the sinning. The captivity is coming. But praise God for his mercy. Praise God for the merciful kindness of God. They are his people. And so he does tell them that they'll be released from this captivity. Matter of fact, verse 2 shows us this. It's very evident in the context from chapter 51 and around verse 17 the beginning of our chapter 53 of Isaiah that we see and love so reverently. But here is the point this evening I want you to see. The prophet is standing in the time where he's at, 700 B.C. He is looking ahead to what's coming. God's given him the word. God's given him the vision of what it's going to be. It's God. Amen. It's his word. But God is telling him what's going to happen. He's letting the people know that this is what it's going to be. And it's kind of like if you ever been to the mountains in North Carolina or Virginia, and you're on a ridge road kind of driving from one mountaintop to the next in the hills, and you're seeing ahead of you in that scape, that mountainscape, and you're on a high eminence there, a highest peak there, and you're looking out across where the road's going ahead of you. He's kind of like seeing that first vision, or that first thing God's telling him about is that captivity. And then the backside of that is that the releasing of the captivity. And then he's telling us about Jesus. The prophecy of Jesus and his coming to redeem. His coming to take our sin upon that old rugged cross. All of chapter 53 describes so well. Praise God. He's telling us about Jesus. And then he's telling us about a kingdom of God to come. And that's, of course, in verse 7 too. But this I'd like to preach a little bit tonight about three great views from the mountaintop. Three great views from the mountaintop. And Isaiah is telling Judah that because of their sins, this terrible time of captivity is coming. And because they are his people, they will be released from their bondage in his timing. We understand from it's about 70 years from Jeremiah there, but there's a releasing from that captivity. And God tells them, and he tells them, and he's telling us too, that being out of his will in rebellion is going to be hard. It's always going to be hard. Amen. All people need us, are in need and stand in need for God's mercy. I need God's mercy. You need God's mercy. All people stand in need of God's mercy because it's because they're his people. It's because they're his people that in his timing he does bring them back. We need his mercy. And I'd like for you to notice first of all this evening the price. The price. Verse 3 says, "For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money." This sold yourselves for naught, they had sinned. Their apostasy, their idolatry, they had sinned. And that was the reasoning for the Babylonian captivity when they were carried off captive. Sold yourselves for naught, but he says also you shall be redeemed without money. And without getting in the weeds, I'd like to say tonight, this verse foretells the Bible principle. And it is a principle of freely given, freely received. Gratuitous, the gratuitous nature of God's graciousness and mercy here. There's a hymn that we sing, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me by Augustus Toplady. And Rock of Ages, and he stands and goes, "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling." That epitomizes the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8 and 9 tells us there's no price. There's no price. It's exactly how he made it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And if you turn with me, I'd like for you to see also evidence in the scripture of this concept that's so tremendous for us tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 18. Scripture says here it's the blood of Jesus. "For as much as you know, as you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Glory, glory to God. It had to be the blood of Jesus. It had to be. It couldn't be offerings upon the altar of sheep and goats as a continual offering. No, because God is holy. Our sin, the sins of mankind, is so depraved. So that only a holy and righteous sacrifice could be sufficient. for that sin. And I thank God it was Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26, it had to be the blood of Jesus so that God would be just, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Oh, praise God. The price is paid. The ransom has been paid. The Lord Jesus Christ took care of it for us. But this is just a vision, a foretelling of that redemption in verse 3. But in verse 4, of Isaiah and the prophecy, he is telling them about this releasing from the bondage, the captivity. Tells us a little bit in chapter 51 about how they went in to it. And how bad it will be there because of the cup of the Lord's fury in their hand. And how actually that cup is going to be taken from them and placed in the hand of their captors. And verse, that's in chapter 51. But verse 4, he's telling them that they're coming out of this bondage. And he's letting them know that they can believe it. They can believe it. And people, you know how people are. I know how I am. It's sometimes when you get into a routines and ruts, and it's kind of like in a grind in a mill, and you kind of wonder what's going to happen. He's telling them. He's letting them know. He's letting them know that he is able to deliver them. He will be able to deliver them, even from this very bondage that's coming. He said, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. All of them knew. I mean, even from a young child, they knew about the history of their people, how Moses led the people out of Egypt, how God delivered them, amen, how the Red Sea parted, all of that. That was documented in everybody in the Pentateuch, and it was in everybody's homes. It was a tradition. They told them about it. Moses delivered us. God brought us out of the land of Egypt. So that's something that he's saying in verse 4 to let them remember. To let them remember that, yeah, God is able. And then you see this other little clause here about, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. There's something they can remember now that wasn't too long ago. Matter of fact, when Hezekiah hadn't been king too long, it was Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, Nineveh, that came up against Jerusalem to lay siege upon Jerusalem and actually had a large army with him. Isaiah 36 and 37, you can see that. Amen. And he threatened them. He was very ruthless, very cruel, the king of Assyria. The Bible says here that oppressed them without cause. All that time that they were threatening, King Hezekiah went to God. And he asked the Lord. He said, Lord, it's a truth that these other countries that this man Sennacherib has destroyed. I pray that you'd help. Let's go and look and see what God answered that in Isaiah chapter 37, if you would, because God answered his prayer. He prayed. Hezekiah prayed and sought the will of the Lord and sought protection for his people, for his city. And Isaiah chapter 37, verse 33, a prophet comes by and tells Hezekiah that God heard that prayer. Verse 33, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. That's the prophet's answer to God. God told the prophet to tell Hezekiah this. And then verse 36 tells us what happened that night, where the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians. So there was 185,000 that actually perished there from the Assyrian army. I just want to just see, he's reminding the people of Jerusalem. He's reminding them that, yes, this captivity is coming. Yes, you brought it on yourselves. Yes, what you've done is wrong, and God's going to punish. But God is merciful. God is merciful, and God's people are going to receive mercy. And in his timing, there's going to be releasing this captivity, this Babylonian captivity. Now, we don't want to take a lot of time here, but that did happen too, where King Cyrus, Isaiah chapter 45, God raised up in righteousness. Amen. King Cyrus actually did initiate that to where the Babylonian dynasty fell. I'm trying to say tonight that God is telling them in verse 4 with this part about Egypt and the Assyrian. He's done it before. He can do it again. I'd like for you to remember tonight, whenever it is that you think your back's against the wall, when you think there's no way that you can get out of this mess, just remember, he's done it before. He'll do it again. Amen. He's done it for others. He'll do it for you. You're his child. Amen. He knows where you're at. And just be sure that he is God. Hallelujah. I was in one of my earlier days testing. I suppose it was, I was a rescue mission guy, just saved at the rescue mission. Hadn't been there long. God saved me, delivered me from drinking, drugs. I got to say, he did it. I knew that. But I still had an arrest warrant that I needed to get settled. You know, God had called me to preach. So how was I going to be a preacher and then have a sheriff come in and arrest me? I mean, I needed to have that settled, you know. And God told me that, showed me that. But I always had run from everything, every trouble, every problem that ever came up in my life. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God, somebody preached that one night at the mission. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I knew right then that if I was going to be in God's will, I had to have to turn myself in to those charges. And that was a threshold right there in my young life and walk with Christ. I just wasn't knowing if I was ready for that. I'd always ran from those problems. I don't know if anybody can identify with this, but that was the situation for me. I'd always run. I always tried to seek another day, another time. But God said to trust. And he also sent a preacher by to preach to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is it sin. And so I went down, I turned myself into the sheriff. This was 1987, so it wasn't yesterday. Turned myself into the sheriff, and sure enough, he put me in jail. But it was there. It was there at Duval County Jail. As a Christian, I had my testament, and I read it all the time in my cell. God started to send other inmates to my cell. And he sent men by with real problems and real concerns and real needs. And that's where it was that he called me to prison ministry. They asked me to pray. They asked me about this or that in the scriptures. And I was just learning about the scriptures and still am. But I got to say this. I know God called me to the prison ministry at that time. And if I hadn't chose or decided or determined to follow the Lord and be obedient there, and if I'd have kept on running, I sure wouldn't be preaching the gospel now. I don't know where I'd be, but. Praise God, I'd be saved, but hallelujah. I'm glad. See what it does. I'm trying to say, he has done it before. He'll do it again. When I have a thing come up in my life, a situation, a challenge, he's going to be able to pull through. He's going to pull it through. Amen. It's going to be him that does it. So it's the same situation. If you ever have that occasion in your life, not necessarily the same as I experienced, but whatever it might be, a challenge where you're putting everything on the line, Your whole life is there on the line, and what are you going to do? Is God will bring you through if you're trusting in Him, if you're trusting wholly in Him. For my people went down aforetime into Egypt and sojourned there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, this verse 7, we know this is Jesus. This is Jesus. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. He's the promise, the price, the record, and the promise. Of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Isaiah 53, which is that next chapter, the Bible tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. For all we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. Now, praise God, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. This Isaiah's got a picture of Jesus right here. And it starts in verse 7 there. So I'm just saying now, this is the promise, the good tidings. This is the good tidings that we go to the prisons and preach and tell inmates that they need Jesus. That's the only hope. It's not in psychology or psychiatric treatments or anything else. It's Jesus, and he is the only way of salvation. I haven't been challenged about that yet as far as a chaplain goes and saying I shouldn't tell them that, because when they say I can't tell them that, I won't be able to go back to their little prisons, because that is the message. Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. So he's the reigning king. He's coming again. We won't go into that tonight, but you've seen those verses in Revelation chapter 19 about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is referring to verse 7 in our text, where thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. And I, praise God, that'll be soon. That'll be soon. Amen. After, when he comes in the rapture, we just got 7 years in heaven with a reward ceremony and a wedding supper, and the earth will be going through this tribulation time here on earth, and we'll be back. Amen. We'll be back with him. So he will reign upon this earth for the 1,000 years that the Bible says he will. But this is a, finishing up, this is something that I'd like to tell you. The people of his people, God's people, had brought this about themselves, their sin, their idolatry, their apostasy. And a principle I want to give you before we go tonight, a timeless principle, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And there's a related fact I'd like to say this to. The closer you come to God, the more your life comes together. The closer you come to God, the more your life comes together. So that means that when we sow obedience, we can reap blessings, reap benefit, amen? Better health, more money, stability. You say, bro, more money, are you talking about prosperity gospel preaching? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you are enjoying the blessings and benefits of God and sowing obedience, he's going to take care of you. He'll take care of you. I've seen people pray and get better jobs, amen? I've seen people pray and have needs met that looked like it was impossible. I'm just trying to say, when we sow obedience, we can reap blessings. Because the scripture tells us in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor citizens see the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, that means if you're blessed, you're staying away from bad counsel. Amen. Staying away from bad counsel, and also delighting in the law of the Lord. I mean, that means that's a little bit more than just reading it a little bit, but that's just enjoying that God will direct you, and you know he does. delighting in the law of the Lord, and he, that verse 3 says, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Folks, that's a healthy tree. That's a healthy tree. Amen. I come from West Texas, and if a tree was going to grow, it needed to be by the riverbed because it wasn't going to get any water otherwise. Amen. So that, I mean, you can drop a seed on the ground here and a tree will grow. But there, where it's dry, there's got to be water. And this is a healthy tree. Psalm 1 is telling us in verse 3. And when we will get closer to him, our life actually does come together better. One other thing, and that's not I'm not going to be given too much about it, but we all know it when we actually do sin and shouldn't sin and shouldn't as Christians, that can bring bondage. It can. I'm just being nice now. And releasing from that bondage, is going to require a price. And I'm saying this, as a believer, you'll have to get right quickly. Go to God and get right quickly, because he's paid the price. Praise God, that ransom has already been paid. But we don't want to be reaping the wrong kinds of a crop by doing things that we ought not. So the only thing I wanted to say tonight about this is that God has mercy. He has mercy. Amen. And he has mercy for his people. And if you're in need of salvation, then that is something that you should have settled. God should take care of as soon as you'll turn to him in faith believing. And if you have a need of getting something right, he's always there if you'll come to him. Just like that prodigal in the far country. Left the far country, went back to the Father. He's always there for you. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we do want to thank you, dear God, that the price is paid. And you've done that. We do thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can trust you. We can trust you, Lord Jesus, because you're always there. You've done it before and you can do it again. And we thank you for Christ and his salvation and for the soon coming kingdom. I pray that you bless and God have your sweet will and way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen.